The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to return our attention back an issue that we addressed with the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform in the last hour, Pascal Donoghue, when he was with me, which is the size and scale of the corporate landlord footprint in the Irish rental market. So we got an exact figure on this today, as it were. The Irish Residential Tenancies Board have provided figures, a snapshot in time as to how the market looks, and what they say is that the rental market has grown. Landlords now, though, who own over 100 properties, owning up to 22% of the rentals in Dublin City in particular. So it is a growing part of the market. Dr. Rory Hearn is with me, Assistant Professor of Social Policy at Maynooth University and the author. Rory, you're welcome to the show. When you look at this, what does it tell you about the health or otherwise of our rental market?
I think the figures for me are not surprising, because I've been pointing this out for a number of years, that really since 2014, so we're now 10 years of the growth of what are called corporate landlords or institutional landlords in Ireland. It's surprising to see, I think, the relative increase over the last year. They jumped from having 22,000 private rental homes last year to 26,000 this year. What strikes me is, and again, it's something I've pointed out, is they are now at a point in certain parts of Dublin where they can exert a form of market control. And this is, in economics termed oligopolistic, great word to try and pronounce it live on radio, control, which is a small number of players being very influential in a market. And the issue is that new rents are set in Ireland, according to what is the market rent. And you find three properties, and if they're of comparable price, you can set the rent according to that. And essentially, there's no limit on new rents in terms of new bills. And if you own all the properties in an area, you can essentially set the market rent. And I think it has to be quite stark for a lot of people, particularly those who are renting, who are part of Generation Rent, who can't buy a home, to look at this huge growth of this corporate ownership of our housing system, to be at now the point where they own 1 in 5 properties in Dublin, and it's going to increase. We're seeing the main supply of new housing being developed in Dublin is these large built-to-rent, corporate-owned housing, and they are locking out a generation of being able to afford a home. Interesting, you were talking to the minister earlier. He's very clear that they're very supportive of this.
His argument, for people that didn't hear it, is effectively that these people are providing, because the build part of the build to rent was the emphasis for him, that they are providing rental stock.
And this is their argument. But I have been making the argument for a number of years that any type of supply, not all supply is good supply. And what is happening is that they're coming to dominate the market. They're getting control over this. And the government gives them the Real Estate Investment Trust tax break. So you have people paying huge rents to them while they are essentially, have processes by which they can reduce their rent. But the real issue is that they lock out. They're buying up lots of land. They're developing the main form of housing. At what point do we reach? Do they control 50% of the market? Do they control 80% of the market? And I think it's really important to point, this is government policy, and I think it's quite disastrous, actually. It's disastrous in terms of the increase in rents. The rents that they are charging are completely unaffordable to anyone on an average income. And, the people say, well, what's the alternative? And the alternative is that, number one, of these build-to-rent developments, they shouldn't be all to rent. Why isn't, for example, half of them be required to be sold to home buyers?
Would that make you more welcoming to the kind of the corporate investor? If there was a version of the part five, so, when a developer in and was building a housing estate, a certain amount of units had to be kind of social or affordable. Now, there was always kind of ways around that, and there was kind of loopholes and problems with it. But,
I guess by government.
the intention maybe was noble. A version of that you couldn't have an entire block, so you had a whole community kind of in one bed short-term property, you might have to have some mixed tenure.
Yeah, I think absolutely you need mixed tenure. And I think in terms of the issue is that the government has created a planning system and a subsidies and these rent tax breaks whereby they're attracting in this particular type of global real estate investment. It's also Irish real estate investment that is very much orientated towards this 100% rental and also really high-end rental. Of course, what we should put in place is planning requirements that does require a certain percentage of these to be available for sale. And if you had institutional investment coming on that basis, that was also included a level of, I think, control of new market rents, because at the moment we have no control over that. Of course, it would be a different situation. But yeah. I do think that...
No, sorry, but just again, well, I guess I assume the counter argument that might be made to that is, well, if they have to sell a certain amount of the property and even sell them kind of for the social and affordable stock, that eats into potential profits. And then again, if you're setting rents below market value or at a more affordable rate, while on the face of it, of course, that's what everybody wants, that again eats into profits. And the result would be that actually you just don't get the investment. And without the investment, you get no increase in housing stock. Nobody's building.
So I think one of the biggest things that I would like to challenge is this idea that we have become completely reliant on real estate funds to provide our housing in this country. Like, when we were a very poor country in the 1950s and 60s, the state provided and funded a lot of the housing, the majority of the housing. Why were we able to house ourselves in the 1950s and 60s, but not today? How have we become so dependent? And it is because the state has moved away from actually financing, funding, delivering housing across the board. And I think that we need to reclaim that idea that the state should be providing a major supply of housing, and we don't need to be dependent on these large investor funds. There is other models as well. For example, the Ocúlán co-housing, the not-for-profit affordable housing provider, also says very clearly that they are providing affordable housing that people can buy at 260,000. There are other ways. Not all cities have gone down this road. Cities like Vienna haven't gone down the road of the large investor funds. Mm. And when we look at cities that have, like, you know, for example, Canadian cities, US cities, what we're seeing is this huge increase in rents, this huge increase of the bulk purchase of housing, and this increase in generation rent and people not being able to buy a home.
There was, I remember, kind of post-crash, there was a period during which we were told this is exactly who we need it. That the kind of the mom and pop landlord and the accidental, we needed to move away from that. That model of the rental market. We needed the big corporate institutions because they would be more willing to sign up to kind of 10-year, 15, 20-year leases. You know what I mean? Because that, you know, again, to give the example, the Canadian pension fund is not going to knock on your door and say, my sister's moving home from Australia, I need the house back. And they kind of long-term, low yield, they are happy with.
The first point in that, there's a number of things that come back. The first is that the Canadian pension fund might knock on your door and say, we are increasing rents because interest rates have risen on the debt we've to pay back, and we require, our shareholders are pushing us for higher profits, so we actually need higher rents. So there's no, the issue of security of tenure, there's no guarantee unless the government implements proper security of tenure that they will provide it. That is the argument that's made. And we need to move away from, as you said, this mom and pop landlord. But I think that really, all that did was say, well, we've one type of private landlord which hasn't really worked, so we're going to move to this other type of private landlord. And this was government policy, Fine Gael's policy from 2011, 2012 onwards. You know, Owen Murphy talked about it. You know, the people, it was actually your famous interview with him when you asked him about the niche living. And, you know, is this not really like, he described it as boutique hotels, but I think you referenced it more like prisons.
Yes.
And I think, you know, that's the question. They said, oh, people, just young people just want to rent and they'll rent privately. Whereas actually the model that they should have developed was actually providing affordable housing that people can rent or buy. And I think that's the alternative rather than just moving down this private rental route.
Dr. Rory Hearn, Assistant Professor of Social Policy at Maynooth University, author as well. Rory, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.